You're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. Today is Wednesday, and what can you expect from Practical Living on Wednesdays? Well, are you young? Are you a teenager? We got something just for you. You meet Pastor Mandla.
Because when we are young, we learn habits. Our youth is a period where we learn habits that carry us through life. I'll make a simple example.
And then I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Pastor Sukali. He's from my home country, Malawi, and he's going to tell you a powerful testimony on the power of prayer.
But despite all these, I was determined to go ahead. I had no single coin to start with, but I surrendered to God all my plans in prayer so that He should work a miracle. Let me assure you, there is power in prayer, and nothing is impossible with prayer.
And I also have Pastor AJ, who's going to talk to us about following the I Am. He's going to tell us his experience when he went camping and the importance of having a flashlight.
Well, it's one of those things when you go camping or hiking that you need to take a torch with you. I remember the one night with my friends. We went hiking and we slept over in a cave. But before the sun set, we needed to make a fire. If we didn't have a fire, we wouldn't be able to have worship or make our supper. Thus, we needed to make the fire quickly, otherwise our evening would have been so much more difficult to cope with. Once the fire was made, we could see everything in the cave.
So that is what you can expect today, this beautiful Wednesday. Before I go any further, here is Pastor Mandla with Practical Matters. Be blessed. For the next few weeks, we'll have a very, very special guest. His name is Mandla. Now, Mandla is someone who has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to relationships, any type of relationship, you know, from school level to the workplace to marriage. I know, you know, some of us are contemplating marriage, and this is the right station to listen to because he'll give you whatever you need to know. But I'll let Mandla introduce himself and kind of let us know what we should expect from him. Mandla.
Thank you very much. Let me welcome all our listeners to Practical Matters. We will be talking relationships. When we talk relationships, we're going to start right from the time when they become serious to us. I mean, the first time we think about them is when we hit puberty. Before then, we just play, and it doesn't matter who's what, who's a boy, who's a girl. But when we hit puberty, then they become an issue. Then we start thinking boyfriend, girlfriend. We'll start talking from there. We'll move right into when we go into university and we start thinking things are serious, to when we start contemplating getting married and things we should look into as to what we look out for people. When we're trying to find life partners, what we should try and find, what we should try and avoid. We'll go into preparing for marriage itself, talking to the parents of the people who are preparing to get married. We'll cover some of that, what we would sometimes cover in your premarital counseling program. We'll cover that as well. We'll go beyond that to get into people already married. We'll touch on some of those issues that could make our marriages better. Some of those issues that we could avoid so as to make our lives better. Some things we can do to make to improve our lives in our marriages. We'll talk to in-laws of people who are already married. So right from the time you hit puberty, right up until your children are married, we'll talk about those relationships because they affect the quality of our life.
Well, you mentioned preparing for marriage. I thought preparing for marriage was just a matter of making sure you have enough money to fund the wedding itself, but you made it look like there's a little more involved in preparing for marriage.
That's preparing for the wedding you're talking about. That's funding for the wedding and the food and the decor and the dresses and the bridegroom and the bridesmaids' dresses and all of that. That stuff is preparing for the wedding. Preparing for marriage is preparing for a life you live with somebody. It's about selecting the somebody. It's about finding the somebody you can be happy with, the somebody who you can build a life with. It's about choices that you make in your life that will determine the kind of person you will be in your marriage. So we have to talk. That's not just a one-year thing. Preparing for marriage is a long-term project. And if you do it right, you'll reap the rewards when you get married.
Manager, so are you telling me that a wedding and a marriage are two different things? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of us just kind of, thought those are synonyms, marriage, wedding.
It in many languages, African languages, you'll find that it has the same word. For example, in my language, Xhosa, it's the same. Umchato will refer to both the wedding and the marriage. The wedding is the event. It happens in one day, and in some cultures, it stretches over to 2, 3, or even 7 days because you go to the bride's home and then go to the groom's door. But it's the event. Beyond the event, there's life. You have to live with a person. After the event of the wedding, you must live with a person. That's when it's important to, if the person is lazy or not, that's when it's important for you to know if you can be happy with this person, if your values are the same, if you think the same about money, if you have the same religious background, if you're both religious, are you both going to pray? Are you praying to the same God? Those things kick in after the wedding, and they determine the quality of your life. That's when you want to find out if this person's concept of a husband is exactly what you have in mind, so that you don't end up stuck with a husband you never wanted to have. If this person's understanding of a role of a wife is what you have, so that you don't come home expecting to have a plate of food there and the wife says, "You went to work, I went to work, we're both tired, let's order in, or let's both cook because we both went to work, we both worked the same number of hours, and here you are stuck, shocked, did not expect this." Why? Because you didn't discuss it beforehand. So these are the things that go into preparing for the marriage, so that when the wedding is over, when everyone has gone home, they've had all of the meat, they've had the cake, they've had their drinks full of Fanta and juices and whatever, when they go home and you're left alone, you can be happy.
So I remember, as we were talking earlier on, you mentioned that puberty somehow would affect what happens in the actual marriage itself. Wow. Puberty.
It does. Because when we are young, we learn habits. Our youth is a period where we learn habits that carry us through life. I'll make a simple example. When we are young, we 12, 13, 14 years old, that's puberty, we all of a sudden discover that we've got sexual attraction to members of the opposite sex. Young boys find an interest in girls, and girls find an interest in boys. And you still have to, then you have to decide what you want to do with your life. And in that decision of what you want to do with your life, there is, do you follow your feelings or do you follow your principles? And that decision of whether you follow your principle or your feelings, you are starting a habit that will carry you right into marriage, where you'll be the kind of husband or wife that either follows their feelings or follows their principle. But we'll have to talk about that in depth later on.
Wow, Manje, it looks like you have a lot in store for us.
Yes, I look forward to it, and I think we're going to have a wonderful time together.
Great. So tell everyone that you know that Practical Matters is the program you want to listen to right here on Practical Living. Don't miss it. Tell all your friends, same time, same station. Till next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune, and I'm with
Mandla Lupondwana.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was Pastor Mandla giving us a foretaste of what's to come. So remember, Wednesdays, Practical Living, you will get Pastor Mandla. Now, just in case there might be some questions or issues that you want Pastor Mandla to address, go ahead, you know, bring them to us, write into us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, or you can just write AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West 7129. I repeat that. Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West 7129. Bring your questions in, and we'll gladly forward them to Mandla so that he can see how best to address them. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. We'll be happy to get your letters, to forward them to Mandla. We all have heard stories, amazing stories. The Bible is full of them, of God providing in miraculous ways for his people, for those that are faithful to him, for those that believe in him. Well, those stories really don't mean much until you know the person. This is someone that I happen to know personally. And when he told me his story, it was just unbelievable what God has done for him. So up next is Pastor Petro Sukali giving his story.
My name is Petro Sukali, married and have 5 children, 2 boys and 3 daughters. I received a call to the ministry in 1993 and went to Malawi Adventist University. By then, it was called Lakeview Seminary, where I graduated in 1994 with a diploma in theology. Since then, I have served for 17 years in 5 districts. The main testimony that I want to share with you is how it happened that I should be here at Helderberg College in South Africa. Though I served for 17 years, I was not satisfied with the level of my education and wanted to upgrade, but the challenge was to get enough money for my fees at the same time to pay fees for my children. Let me say it before I continue that my firstborn daughter is graduating in June 2011 and the 2 others are in secondary school, 1 in primary school. So you can imagine the challenge I had before me. But despite all this, I was determined to go ahead. I had no single coin to start with, but I surrendered to God all my plans in prayer so that he should work a miracle. Let me assure you, there is power in prayer, and nothing is impossible with prayer. I was encouraged with some stories in the Bible where God performed miracles in unexpected situations. For example, creating a dry ground on the Red Sea, feeding Elijah while there was hunger in the land. One day, as I was still thinking how to go about it, came one of my elders in the church which I was serving in Area 47, Lilongwe, Malawi, who told me that he was studying masters and that I should also apply for studying, of which I agreed. He helped me processing all the documents until I was accepted, but still no fees. The college phoned me to get assurance if I was coming in July 2010 for the second semester so that they could allocate me in a married student house. I confidently assured them of my coming. They demanded the deposit to show my seriousness. I again confidently told them that they were to get my deepest sleep the same week. I did this trusting that God would do something. After 2 days, suddenly came a certain gentleman who heard about my problem from the elder, with a plastic bag full of money, enough for a semester fees and accommodation. I immediately transacted and faxed the deposit slip to college. After this, there was a problem of transport. The same God sorted out for us. Someone bought 3 air tickets for myself, my wife, and my daughter. Glory be to God. Still after this, another problem appeared. My wife and daughter had no visa, and I had no money to process. I thought of coming alone because I said to myself, let me not trouble the Lord with too many requests. This is where I came to know that God works beyond our expectation. Some women in the church joined in and processed the visa for the 2. Glory be to God alone. And it came to the point that the doors of blessings were opened wide. Many well-wishers came in so that when we were leaving Malawi on 8th July 2010, we had enough to keep ourselves for the whole semester. Though this looks the end of the story, in real sense it is not. There are 3 more things that followed which I would not end the testimony without mentioning them. 1. When we left Malawi, we missed the plane which we were to connect from Johannesburg to Cape Town. Instead, we traveled by a plane which left an hour later. It was our first time to come to Cape Town, and the man who was to pick us from the college gave up and went back. We were stranded, but God is good all the time. A known person who was together with us in the plane from Johannesburg came to our rescue by picking us in his car to the college free of charge. Secondly, my children in Malawi are in expensive schools paid by well-wishers, a thing which I never dreamed of. Lastly, to crown it all, a white family in Somerset West has assured us to pay for all our expenses from now up to the time I am to graduate. This shows that God is the God of wonders. Let me assure you that if you depend upon God and if you are so faithful to Him, God will show you what you have never seen before.
Wow, that was amazing. The doors that God is able to open. That was Pastor Swikali giving his testimony, how God led him all the way from Malawi to Helderberg College in South Africa. Has God done something amazing in your life? Let me rephrase that. Tell us what God has done for you. I strongly believe that everyone has a story to tell. And when you just take a moment to think back on the many things that God has done, it's just so overwhelming what He is able to do. Hey, why don't you write into us and tell us your story? And then we'll make sure that everyone else hears your story. You can email us using this email address, awr@sidmedia.org. I'll repeat that. awr@sidmedia.org. Or you can write to us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129. Let me repeat that. Our address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, and that's spelled S-O-M-E-R-S-E-T, Somerset West, postal code 7129, South Africa. Please, tell us your story and we'll let the world know. You'll be surprised at how God will use your testimony in a very, very mighty way. Now, are you ready to go camping? Pastor AJ wants to tell us his experience when he went camping, but also the importance of following the I Am. So be blessed. Up next is Pastor AJ.
We have learned, just to recap from our last session, that we need to come to Christ of ourselves. And by coming to Him, we are practicing our belief in Him. It's now time to understand this belief more deeply, how we need to follow Him. Who of you have ever walked in darkness? Who of you have maybe possibly needed a torch sometime in your life, or maybe a candle that you needed to use to help you find your way? Well, it's one of those things when you go camping or hiking that you need to take a torch with you. I remember the one night with my friends. We went hiking and we slept over in a cave. But before the sun set, we needed to make a fire. If we didn't have a fire, we wouldn't be able to have worship or make our supper. Thus, we needed to make the fire quickly. Otherwise, our evening would have been so much more difficult to cope with. Once the fire was made, we could see everything in the cave. You could see where you were walking and, thank goodness, see where you will bump your head or stumble and fall. You see, we had a choice in making the fire. It's actually quite insane not to make a fire, since one will lose heat. Your vision will be hindered and you will struggle to understand how to live. Now, this is exactly what the Apostle John is saying to us in John 8 verse 12. He's trying to tell us that in making our decision to follow Christ sets us up for the life of Christ. In making a decision to follow Him, we are making a decision to walk in the light and not in darkness. The woman caught in adultery made a decision to walk that road of life. And Christ comes along and tells everyone condemning her that she also has a chance to walk in the light. And not just her, but everyone listening to Him has a chance to walk in the light. This passage, and specifically verse 12, draws out an amazing parallel between light and darkness. It takes us back to the beginning of the book, to verse 4 and 5 of chapter 1, which says that Christ is the opposite of darkness. He says that the darkness did not comprehend the light. Why couldn't that darkness comprehend the light? Because darkness has no sustenance in it. Darkness could not grasp the light. It couldn't understand the light. It is the absence of light. We measure the amount of light in a room and not the amount of darkness which is in the room. This is why John is trying to tell us that Christ is the measure of all existence. He is the one that determines the path in which we walk in this world. John 8 starts out by a real life story where the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. She was caught in the act of sin. She was caught in the act of walking in darkness. They brought her to Him to test Him. What does Christ do? He stoops down and writes out their sins. The ones who brought her to Him. Christ reveals the darkness in them to counteract the darkness they saw in her. He reveals the true witness that He brings, and that is to have life in Him. And He is trying to tell the Pharisees that they do not have life in Him, because they are actually the ones walking in darkness. Because they are judging her and they are forgetting about their own sin. The word in the Greek for darkness could be translated as darkness or privacy. But in the context of John 8 verse 12, it's referring to a spiritual darkness in the lives of those listening to what Christ is saying. Are you spiritually walking in darkness today? Are you struggling to focus on the importance of life, which is God in your life? Are you stumbling and falling the whole time as you go through life? Do you want to walk in the light and see where you are going in life? If you are, you have nothing to fear, Yes, it's scary when we wander away from the light, but the light is always there. You made a decision in the previous session to come back to the light, to practice your belief in coming to Christ. I now invite you to turn from the darkness of life, from the sin of judging others about their experiences, about their emotions, about their characters. I invite you to reveal Christ in your life. Walk with Him today. Let us not become Pharisees who are always trying to push the law down everyone else's throat. Let us reveal the life of Christ to those around us. Our sin and our wretchedness keeps us from God. Let us move to the light. Let us accept Him today. I invite you now to accept Jesus Christ as the light of life.
That was Pastor AJ reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world. And if we're sick of living in spiritual darkness, it's high time we follow the I Am and we accept the light that Jesus has to offer. Now, unfortunately, my time is up. It was great being with you. But before I go, I want to give you my mailing address so that you can get me those stories and I can tell everyone about what God has done for you and how you have met the light. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. I'll repeat that. Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. awr@sidmedia.org. I have been your host for the day, Dumisani Mfune. And remember, here at Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice to keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.